Let us pray. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, just look around this sanctuary and see all the beautiful handiwork of our dedicated blanket sewers, led by Frida Pop. Think of all of the hours. When I look at these blankets, I think of all of the hours and hours of labor done in love. Every stitch, a gift. It's really something. And I want to give thanks for each and every one of you that have made these blankets possible to send to the other side of the world. And in a few moments, we're going to be dedicating these blankets in Christ's name as we send them off. But before I go any further, I have a critical question to ask of you. Why are these quilts here anyway? Why are they here? Why have members of this congregation been sewing their hearts out for, I don't know how many years is it now? Is it 40, 50?
Well, I'm 47, but I think it's at least 48 years.
Yeah, I think it's pretty close to 50 years, half a century. Why have we been doing this for 50 years? Why have we mailed off more than 5,000 quilts? Almost 6,000 quilts.
Because we care.
And there's another reason, and it's embedded in our gospel for today, from Luke 13. Because I think Jesus speaks to the deepest reason why you have been sowing your hearts out all of these years. Using very maternal language to describe God's love and care. It's one of the reasons I love this passage. It's one of those rare passages that uses maternal language to describe God. God's love, God's care for God's most vulnerable and marginalized children around the world. Luke quotes Jesus lamenting all those whose hardness of heart has caused the innocent such suffering. Remember what he says? Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. A little earlier in our gospel, Jesus is warned that that wicked King Herod is seeking to kill him. But Jesus remains steadfast in his determination to fulfill the mission given to him by his heavenly Father, which is to save God's beloved people from themselves. He calls Herod what he is, a fox in a hen house. And then he contrasts the bloodthirsty fox with the description of the unconditional love of God for those whose well-being is threatened by any of the myriad foxes out there in the real world. God's unconditional love is like a mother hen who seeks to gather her brood under her wings to keep them safe from whatever threatens them. So against this backdrop, why are we looking at all of these beautifully made quilts? Isn't it because the foxes all over the world today, just like the jealous, power-hungry King Herod who is threatened by Jesus and his teachings, are still threatening the innocent? And the innocent are still scattering today like terrified chicks looking to save themselves from whatever most recent form of terror causes fear, uprooting, and endless violence and suffering in this world? Haven't we just had our TV screens soaked in the blood of 50 innocent people worshiping again? Perhaps it is even possible that some of you slept under the earliest quilts sent over by Lutheran World Relief at the end of World War II, as Lutherans in the United States began responding to the refugee crisis in Europe by sending food and clothing and blankets and quilts. By the 1950s, Lutheran World Relief was also sending relief aid to those affected by conflicts in Palestine and Hong Kong and Korea and Bangladesh. And in the 60s and 70s, Lutheran World Relief moved beyond sending food and quilts overseas and began working on issues of food security in the developing world. And in the 80s, famine in Africa motivated Lutheran World Relief to ship 5,000 tons of wheat to northern Ethiopia. And more recently, in the 1990s, and still today, our partners in ministry through this planking ministry has increased its emphasis on sustainable agriculture and climate adaptation while continuing to send quilts to major national natural disasters and humanitarian crises all around the world. Our partner, Lutheran World Relief. Mission quilts were one of the earliest forms of aid that Lutherans sent through Lutheran World Relief. And the statistics are absolutely mind-boggling. For example, in 2016, our quilts from First Lutheran were just one congregation's contribution towards the $14 million worth of quilts and kits, that's personal care and school and baby care kits, that were sent to more than 575,000 people in 21 different countries around the world. You talk about a modern day example of the loaves and fishes miracle story. Well, this is it. Lutheran World Relief didn't dream up the idea of making and sending quilts as a gesture of practical and spiritual care for the very least of these, the most vulnerable of the most vulnerable, those little chicks scattered looking for safety. Did you know that early Christians provided coverings for widows and orphans? Coverings are blankets. Quilts, through the centuries, have uniquely been an expression of faith and comfort and beauty, but also of struggle. Quilt making has figured prominently in justice ministries for a very long time. Quilts were used as clever signposts for the Underground Railway as slaves in this country escaped to freedom in the north. Oral histories by former slaves describe how these quilts were sewn from the owner's cast-off clothing. And the one precious sewing needle that they were allowed to have was used all night long, sewing deep into the night. And the quilts that resulted from that late night activity of the slaves were stitched with signs and symbols of freedom because, of course, slaves weren't allowed to learn to read or write. But these symbols that they used in the quilts stretched back to their African roots. And they were very clever. And I say clever because quilts were so common a part of life that their hidden in plain sight messages were virtually invisible to their slave owners. So they had a billboard. The quilts were a billboard. They were a signpost on the way north to freedom. Reverend Joyce Kelly of the Bloor Street United Church of Christ in Toronto, herself a passionate quilter, explains that, for example, the flying geese patterned quilts were hung with arrows pointing up north, like spring's migrating geese. And the pattern Drunkard's Path was a way of explaining and being a sign that escaping slaves needed to follow a zigzag path to confuse the slave hunters and their search dogs. And the wagon wheel pattern, well, that told you that there was a wagon with a hidden compartment in it ready to start north. Did you know that? And the shoe fly pattern quilt, That marked the home of someone who could read the codes and the guides that slaves needed that were journeying north. And the log cabin quilts that were hung outside homes, that signified that those homes were safe houses on the Underground Railroad. For over 90 years, England exported criminals to Australia. If you had stolen bread because your family was hungry, or maybe as a woman had to sell yourself to feed your children, you might have ended up with other women on a convict ship headed off to the unknown wilds of Australia. And it's documented in April of 1841 that the Elizabeth Fry Society, convinced of the virtues of stitching, gave 180 women setting sail for Australia fabric, thread, and needles. 2 months later, when these ladies docked, these convict ladies, they had created a huge quilt inscribed on the back with a message of solidarity to the ladies of the convict ship committee. And today, in Canada, the Elizabeth Fry Society continues. And it helps in modern times with the reintegration of female offenders into society and also tackles other issues affecting women and girls in the justice system. Or maybe some of you recall the famous Names Project of 1987 in the early days of the AIDS crisis. That was when some 2,000 3-foot by 6-foot quilted panels toured the world, each panel naming and celebrating the life of someone beloved who had been taken by the scourge of AIDS. It was a way of naming these individuals who in society were considered shameful and lifting up their lives and celebrating their lives in a beautiful way. All around the world and throughout history, God has tried to take the crazy quilt pieces of all of our messes and fashion them into a healed and reconciled whole. When our ancestors in the faith couldn't get it right as the children of Israel wandering around in the desert for 40 years, they got it wrong again and again and again, ignoring the warnings of all the prophets God raised up to help them along. So God finally decides to send his only beloved son, Jesus, to provide a pattern for us to follow. A pattern for living and relating to each other in a way that would result in a joyful, peaceful, harmonious, beautiful existence with each other if we could just follow the pattern that Jesus put out for us. But as human beings, we just don't seem to do very well at taking direction and following patterns. The patterns set for us first by our Creator God and then by our Savior Jesus, do we? That's why we have a Syrian refugee crisis. That's why we have lead in the pipes of Detroit. That's why we have famine in Yemen. That's why we have threats of nuclear testing again in North Korea, or an epidemic of human trafficking all over the world of young girls and women, of global warming, of planes falling from the skies because of questionable technology that would cost dollars to remedy. And now, 50 worshippers slaughtered in the mosques of the strange city called Christchurch in New Zealand. Arguably one of the most peaceful and remote locations on the planet Earth, or so we thought. From what I can tell, quilt making is not only a creative journey, it's also a spiritual journey, isn't it? When you're together quilting, it's a spiritual journey. My sister-in-law, Susan, died way too young of a lung disease. She was a passionate quilter. She kept cheating death at the end because she had one more quilt to make. Because a goal she had set for herself when she knew she was terminally ill was to create a quilt for each of her siblings and her children and her grandchildren. I remember when she was a young mother starting out. I remember her quilting the baby quilts for first her daughter and then her son. And at the end of her life, she poured all her energy, all the energy she had left, into her stitchery, leaving those quilts as a lasting legacy of her love for her family and her faith in God. In 1987, a board member from Lutheran World Relief accompanied a gift of 75,000 quilts to Mother Teresa in Calcutta for her work among the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa said in response, after she received these 75,000 quilts, "Rejoice that once more Christ is walking through the world in you and through you, going about doing good." And that's what you are doing with your quilts. You are doing good in Christ's name. Another quilter for the past 20 years, a woman by the name of Jennifer Mulkey, reflects on quilting as a spiritual journey. She says, "Quilting reminds me so much of our lives with God. When I make a quilt, I start with little pieces of fabric of different colors and patterns, and sometimes different shapes. How will they all look once put together? How like our lives, made up of many and varied experiences, some deeply broken and painful, and others bright and beautiful. Sometimes when I quilt, I make such a big mistake, I have to take out my little seam ripper and cut all of it, the stitches out, and try all over again. By the grace given us through Jesus, we are able to try again," she writes, "to have new life, new chances. God's mercies are new every morning, just like the quilter God has a vision for our lives." Let's end with the words of an anonymous poet who thinks of God as the master quilter. It goes like this: "I think God is a quilter who, with needle and thread, pieces our world from nothingness and gives it form instead. I think we see God's perfect stitches, textured everywhere, involved in velvet moss and grainy sand, in silky strands of hair. I think God cuts the pattern from stuff we'd throw away and shows us how to use each scrap in God's own redeeming way. I think quilts paint the lessons God uses just to teach that our pieces and our remnants have kaleidoscopic reach. So, in the life we're living, odd pieces everywhere, let's give them to the quilter to work into a masterpiece with extra loving care." Amen.